and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Brian Clark. The district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, presenting evidence to a grand jury tasked with deciding whether there's enough evidence to indict former President Trump in Georgia for interfering with the state's 2020 election. The governor of Hawaii warns that hundreds remain unaccounted for in Maui after last week's wildfires. At least 96 deaths are now confirmed. NASA's joining NOAA, the government's weather forecasting agency, to create an Earth Information Center.
And I can tell you that NASA is all in.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson says the center will use many NASA satellites to track climate data in real time. A Montana judge sided with young environmental activists who accuse state agencies of violating their constitutional right to a clean and healthy environment by allowing fossil fuel development without considering effects on climate. Ruling is the first of its kind in the U.S. It adds to a small number of these decisions worldwide. This is ABC News. The governor of Texas has given no indication he plans to stop busing asylum seekers to other states in protest against Biden administration border policies, despite a tragedy during one trip last week.
A three-year-old migrant from Venezuela got sick during a bus ride to Chicago. She later died at an Illinois hospital. A cause of death has not been determined, but Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez says
this child died because, in all likelihood, they were on a bus that they couldn't get out of.
Lawsuits have been floated to halt the busing of migrants out of Texas and Florida. And Attorney Tim Maloney says
a federal judge can issue a temporary injunction to determine whether or not that should be extended permanently.
But so far, no ruling has been issued. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The Barbie movie now holds the title for highest-earning film in the U.S. ever directed by a woman, passing Frozen 2, which still holds the worldwide record. Barbie, directed by Greta Gerwig's global total, stands at almost $1.2 billion, just $250 million short of Frozen 2. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Workers at the Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls begin their second month of a strike as they seek better wages. About four dozen employees began the strike last month, saying their pay hasn't kept up with the cost of living. The workers union and Molson Coors met earlier this month, with the beer company refusing to budge on its offer, saying it was above market rates for similar roles. Molson Coors doesn't expect any production delays or impact to its sales. A man is dead after a rollover crash in Dunn County Saturday morning. The crash happened on Highway 85 near Kerryville at 3:25 a.m. The sheriff's office said the man's cell phone made an automated 911 call after the crash happened. The man, who was thrown from the vehicle when it crashed, was found dead at the scene. A man is dead after apparently drowning in Lake Wazee in Jackson County Friday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the man's body was being pulled from the water by people at the lake as first responders arrived. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. No other information was made available. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We believe green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different.
brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And Xerxes in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Squeaky here. Matt, Brett. Hi, Brett. How are you today?
I'm all right. How about you?
I'm doing well. Is it just me or do you feel weird that it's raining?
Yeah, it's a very gloomy kind of April sort of day. Not necessarily temp-wise, but it just looks like April or May out there.
We haven't had rain. I was looking at Sven's Bring Me the News forecast, right? He said it's the most rain the airport got since March. March! It's August, man! That's the part which is really weird. That's the part which I have a hard time with, is this 2 months... 3 months of insanely dry, abnormal conditions, and then all of a sudden we're going to get, it sounds like we got storms today, storms on Wednesday. We're going to get like a month's worth of rain in 4 or 5 days. That's the crazy. That's the part which is, this is the climate change part that I just can't stand. So, you didn't bike here today, did you?
No, did not bike here today, although I think it's supposed to clear out later on this afternoon / evening.
I think you're going to be fine tomorrow, the day after that. You know, you're a better person than I.
That looks like a washout, yeah.
Yeah, that Wednesday looks really rough. 952-946-6205. Did you go to Ed Sheeran?
I did not get a chance to see him. Would have been good to see, though.
Did you go to the Lego store where he was apparently working?
Wish I was, because, yeah, that was kind of fun to see him there, and... not expecting to see him at the Lego store. That would have been weird if he were there.
Well, he has
that looks like Ed Sheeran. What is Ed Sheeran?
He has a pretty unique look. It's one of my children says he just doesn't look well. No, he's just pale. He's just a really, really white guy. You know, that's Ed Sheeran. I thought that was pretty cool. Apparently, he has a song about Legos, so that's why he was at the Lego store and actually was there for a while and performed and everything. It's like that's kind of nice of him. Here's the thing. I'm going to give Ed Sheeran a lot of credit because I knew a lot of people that went to U.S. Bank to catch him. Biggest show they've ever had there at U.S. Bank now. It's 72,000 people showed up for that. An outstanding thing. And if you want to know the truth, it's the palate cleanser that I think we need after what happened with Taylor Swift. And if I want to... One thing about the Taylor Swift concert, I've talked a little bit about this, but I don't think I've really explained what my theory is on this. So I'm going to take a quick sec here, okay? So, you know, I had the Ed Sheeran concert Saturday night. A lot of people thought it was pretty good. My son went to it. My brother and sister-in-law went to it. I thought about it, but I didn't know if tickets were available. Apparently they were. And relatively affordable, sure. Upper levels of the top deck, but I mean, it was still, there were tickets available. I think they were before all the service fees and all that stuff. They were like $16, $20 tickets, something like that, which is that's fine. You're going to go see like Ed Sheeran live. You're not going to, I'll pay that to go sit in a nosebleed seat in a heartbeat. So that's a real appreciation, I think, kind of the fans. Now, granted, I think this is Ticketmaster on best behavior at this point. Because they realize that, and they should be broken up. I'm sorry. Ticketmaster, if you've not watched the John Oliver Last Week Tonight takedown of Ticketmaster, you should. Because it is brutal in its entirety. Now, when it came to Taylor Swift, a lot of people like, well, this wasn't Taylor Swift, this was Ticketmaster. And one of the things that John Oliver points out is that Ticketmaster has figured out that as long as a portion of the proceeds from these scalp tickets that they themselves scalp and then their own reseller sells again, if part of the proceeds goes to the entertainer will go along with it. That their integrity about their fans kind of only goes as far as the, you know, in some cases, seven, eight, not, figure check that gets scrawled out depending on the venue. The Taylor Swift concert, of course, featured many tickets that, especially anything on the floor, was $7,000-$8,000 per ticket on the resale market. $3,000 was the most part, but you got close. They were looking for, close to five figures. The night of the first concert, I took the time to pull up the reseller market. The vast majority of the tickets that were available were tickets where you couldn't even see Taylor Swift from the seats, outside of maybe 10% of the show. You were looking, you just were kind of on the far side of the stage, and so you kind of had a really bad view. And so you're basically going there to listen to the concert. That evening before the starting acts opened up, the tickets were still $325, $350 a piece for seats you could not see the show for. I paid attention as the opening acts went, and then Taylor, around the time Taylor Swift took the stage. And the tickets did start coming down, particularly when Taylor Swift took the stage. There were a few seats that went down to about $100. They were immediately gone. But there were a lot of seats where the price went down to about $170 per ticket and then just never went down. Even an hour and a half into the show, into Taylor Swift's segment, it was still $170 per ticket. And this is, I will admit, a theory, but I'm going to run with this. That tells me when it's 170, that's not people desperate to get rid of their tickets that are willing, that's what the resale market is. It's like, oh, I can't use them. Oh, I want to try to get a few bucks from them. There comes a point where if it's legitimately people just trying to resell the tickets, all right, fine, I'm asking 300, but I'll get it down to 100 just to get them out the door. I'm still making, $60 per ticket. Let's go with that. That occasionally happened, but the vast majority of the seats that were still available never dropped below 170. And that told me that was corporate. Those were the corporate ticket resellers, the corporate scalpers, the Ticketmaster system that they've got in place by design. And here's the crazy part is my guess is that day they had a meeting and said, all right, what's the bare minimum we're going to sell these for? Let's sell them for $170. That'll be our bare minimum price. It tells you how much money they made. So they basically, took a hit on 200, 300, maybe even up to 1,000 seats for Taylor Swift at $170 a piece. They took a hit on all those because they had already made up so much freaking money on the resale market for all the other tickets they had out there that they basically could take a wash on all those seats and it didn't matter. They already got their payday. They already made a mint. And like I said, maybe this is the reason why Ed Sheeran seemed to go so smoothly and people were able to even still the day of the show were able to get tickets at a relatively reasonable rate is that Ticketmaster has realized, Ticketmaster has realized until the next big show comes through that they can screw over the fans with that they better not try this again. But I guarantee you the next Taylor Swift concert or the next U2 concert or the next Beyonce concert, the biggest act. I guarantee you the next time that happens, oh, no, not again. You can't regulate us. You can't break us up. We're not a monopoly. It's going to happen because executives at Ticketmaster, executives at these scalping tickets, Live Nation, the artists, they're making a freaking mint. And so that should just tell you why this whole system needs to be broken down and redone again because it's not designed to basically make this affordable. It's designed for the wealthiest of the wealthy, and that's just that. One other quick side note, if I could say. We got them up there? Yeah, we got the plethora of live, of social media accounts here, which is just the burden of my freaking existence. Can I just say this? God, I wish I could just turn all this stuff off, but hey, I got enough followers, about 8,500 or so on Facebook. About 3,800 on Twitter, the rest of them probably maybe 1,000. So you can follow me on various social media sites. One of the things I've noticed about the Facebook page, which is at Matt McNeil Show Progressive Citizen X. Okay. Go look it up. You can follow me there. If I post about a concert, particularly before the concert, in the comment section, my comment section gets overwhelmed with people coming out there saying, gee willikers, I've just got a pair of tickets and I can't use them. I'm willing to give them up at face value. If anybody wants them, they can have them. Just get in touch with me. And it's one thing if it was just one person. There'll be like 12 of those in the comment section. By the way, blocking every one of them. I block them. And one of the things I do love about Facebook, you can block them and then any other accounts that individual sets up, you can block all them too. I posted about the Ed Sheeran being at the Lego store yesterday, which would be the day after the concert at US Bank Stadium. And in my comment section was, hey, I can't make the show tonight, but I'm willing to give away my tickets at face value. If anyone wants them, just get in touch. It's all scams. It's all scams. There are people out there, and it'd be one thing to be able to say, oh, it's some guy in Albania or something like that. No, these are people just across the country who are just this is how they trick you into giving you money, and they're going to rob you blind because you're stupid and I want the money. Don't do it. Don't do it. I would make the argument this. Unless you're going to a small venue, I would say anything the Armory size or smaller. So the Fine Line, 7th Street, 1st Avenue, you're generally, I think, pretty safe with them. But anyone in X, the U.S. Bank Stadium, Target Center, Target Field, if you're dealing with them, if you can't get the tickets from the original selling individual, I think you've got it's real risky, I think, if you're just trying to get tickets, because I just think there's just too many people ripping you off, whether that's the legitimate people ripping you off or the people trying to just steal your money.
That's kind of a sad commentary that you're getting like 12 comments like that, because they wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't working. But it's like, really, you're going to try to get tickets from someone posting in a comment section on a post?
But someone, if you're desperate enough to get the tickets, I noticed it when I posted with Pink. Pink going to be in concert, and all of a sudden there was all these comments there. I noticed it with Taylor Swift. I mean, I can't use the tickets, and every one of them, they're getting better at their scam. I mean, it looks like just a mom. You pull up their account, looks like a mom, like the one today. I mean, clearly that's a scam. The show was the day before. She didn't even do her basic research to say, okay, is this here? So, and my guess is they've got some sort of algorithm which says concert, this town, here, automatically posting thing on there. And that's what it does. It scans through the system. You didn't even do the basic research, but if you pulled up her account before I blocked her, she looked like just some working class mom from Missouri. I have tickets. So what are you waiting to say? You're working class in Missouri. What are you doing coming to a Minneapolis for an Ed Sheeran concert? You know, it becomes pretty obvious. It looks very legit until you start thinking about it for a second, or they're stupid enough to post, I've got tickets available for the show that was last night. It's like, really? Those sound like a great value. So I just want everyone out there, because I want no culpability in this crap whatsoever. I want everyone out there to basically do not get tickets off my Facebook page. They're not, even if I was selling them, I wouldn't put them on my Facebook page like that. I would probably let people know, friends of mine saying, that I know would like the band. I'd go to talk to them directly. I'm not going to ever put anything out there. So if there is something on my page that says you got tickets to go see one of the biggest acts, in the country, that's not me. Blink 182. How did Matt get all these? No. And no, don't trust any of them. Nope. It's Matt's safety tip. The Matt McNeil Show Facebook page is a bed of lies. Just remember that. It's where the thieves and the scammers come. Thanks for following. And hit that like and subscribe button. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hey, the other stuff is legit. Just I'm not selling any tickets, okay? Nor do I endorse anyone doing it. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
My name is J.P. Derbogosian, and I'm the host of This Career Book Saved My Life. the show where LGBTQ guests share the queer books that saved their lives in conversation with the authors who wrote them. This week, I'm talking with actor Troy Stanley about the queer classic Tales of the City and an episode about being ourselves and not apologizing for it. Plus, B.G. Wolf joins us to talk about her new book, April Renegade, a coming-of-age punk rock and roll romance. Join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hey, it's Tom. Going solar is a great way to save on energy costs. By using the sun to power your house, you can feel good about an investment that will last for years. All Energy Solar is a locally trusted turnkey solar installer that's been around since 2009. They provide custom designs and quality installations of solar panel systems that work for your energy needs. One of the best parts about going solar is it's an investment that can pay for itself. Your system can pay back 100% of the installation cost in as little as 8 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. There's also many tax incentives and rebates available, and the experts at All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process to make sure you're saving as much as possible. So go green, both financially and environmentally, with All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hi, it's Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings, heard every Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on AM 950. Each week, I bring you timely information on finances, AARP updates, Minnesota Department of Health information, what's going on around our area, a spiritual message, my words to the wise, history notes, and more. So tune in this Saturday at 11 a.m. for New Beginnings with me, Freddie Bell. I'll see you then.
I think it's a wash. Would I trust myself? You don't know where those hands have been. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, coming up here in a little bit, too much sea for their deck, shipwrecks of Minnesota's North Shore and Isle Royal. Michael Schumacher is going to join us to talk about his latest book. Very entertaining. Do you like the stories of the shipwrecks and stuff like this? Not just on the Great Lakes, but around the, you know, those are kind of interesting stories, I think.
I think they're interesting stories, and I would definitely check it out. Wish they'd make a movie about, like, the Edmund Fitzgerald. Do you think someone would do that?
It screams Clooney, man. He already did Perfect Storm. So, you know, it's Christian Bale, maybe. One thing I will say about Lake Superior scares me, man. I remember there was a picture I posted, this was probably 7 or 8 years ago, showed a cliff that was 120 feet high, and the waves were crashing right about 20 feet from the top. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. That's a lake. That is a lake. And I bet it's not warm water.
No.
Oh, there's one here. That's just, you can't believe how tragic it is. We'll talk about that shipwreck as well as some of the other stuff in the book. Highly recommend. That's coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. So I want to, there was a thread that I saw, and I got to read this just because this is just so spot on. It's Dr. Lisa Corrigan, who she seems to be from Arkansas, but it looks like she might be doing some stuff with the University of Minnesota Press and stuff like that. I don't know if teaches at the University of Minnesota or University of Mississippi, rather. It's Mississippi. University of Mississippi Press. Not sure what her situation is there, but needless to say, she seems to be very intelligent because this is a brutal breakdown of the reality of the Republican Party today. Wedge issues like book bans appear when fascists have no plan to govern and just want to direct white rage at public institutions like schools to erode support for the public good. I read that. I'm like, holy God, is that succinct and absolutely spot on? Wedge issues like book bans appear when fascists have no plan to govern and just want to direct white rage at public institutions like schools and erode support for the public good. I was like, okay, you that's called a hook. You got me. You're reeling me in at this point. I want to go through this because this is just, like I said, this is as far as threads go with insight into the modern Republican mentality. You can't beat this. And by the way, there's stuff. You're not going to believe what the Republican Party, what happened with the Republican Party this weekend. You're not going to believe what happened this weekend. I'll get to that here. Anyway, back to Dr. Lisa Corrigan. Predictably, the general focus that white rage onto Jewish or black people is a way to sharpening whatever aspect of whiteness feels to be in crisis, generally as a result of sustained public critique of white supremacy and colonialism. We are coming to grips here with the fact that not only her analysis is spot on because there has been this real big pushback since we started probably about 10 years ago talking about how the plight of the African, there was no positivity in slavery. There wasn't. It was a horrible, god-awful stain on our history. That the way that the Native Americans were treated was just atrocious by the white European settlers. That Columbus, as we went and revisit Columbus and that absolute jackass of a human being and all the stuff that he did, that this once again, I think it's as we talk about the real true legacy of slavery and the Native American treatments and Columbus and white European expansion into the North American and South American continent, that I think that this is it not really a surprise that she's exactly right. When you put that in perspective, this is why Trump and DeSantis and these guys are pushing back as hard as they are, is because, no, Christopher Columbus was the greatest person ever. You know, that's kind of because they're trying to appeal to white supremacists and stuff because, hey, they're attacking our legacy, that kind of mentality. She continues, book bans always fail, and generally the books sell gazillions more copies, bringing more attention to the object of the white tears. But more than that, book bans and other local cultural wars show us where fascists think they had the power to define the limits of the public good. Book bans make white people feel in control so they can consolidate a narrative among their in-group. But the effect of that is also raising awareness outside of that in-group so that the people mobilized to defend institutions of free speech like schools and libraries. Absolutely spot on. Like I said, this whole thread is insanely concise and on point. Republicans are seeing their perceived empire start to crumble. And it crumbled because they got too greedy. Donald Trump got too greedy. He wanted another term in office. He lost fair and square. The public rejected him. And then they tried to take over, and it failed. And this is the falling down. And they're still trying to push this. Trust us this time. Guarantee we won't try to overthrow the government. And it remains to be seen whether or not people will take him seriously or not. But the reality is this is, you know, when they overturned Roe v. Wade, they accomplished something that they said they're going to, and the consequences of them doing so are making them look like they're going to have no chance in a lot of other states to especially win nationwide elections. So this is, what are they doing? They're going out, they're trying to feel like they're in control by going after drag queens, going after books, going after the LGBTQIA, seeing we're in charge when they really are offering nothing in regards to actual leadership and legislative proposals. Another way of thinking about it, book bans emerge when white people feel so out of control and weak that they must produce control over objects that center critiques of power. Spot on. Obviously, you should buy and read the banned books and leave them in free little libraries with the community members to support teachers who support them, borrow them from lending institutions to justify their purchase, request their purchase from your local library. So there you go. But understand that book bans work as prohibitions, which is the only way that fascists see power, as something to be centralized and hoarded, not something to be debated and shared. Sweet Jesus, is that the Republican Party, something that feels power should be centralized and hoarded, not something debated and shared? Sweet Jesus, the Republican Party are fascist now when you look at how they are. There was one guy on the weekend shows who said, He goes, if Hunter Biden broke the law, then he should face punishment for the crimes that he did. And he goes, that's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Find me one person on the Republican side who says Donald Trump should go to jail. Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government of the United States. They have embraced this. They might not be actual fascists, but they've embraced the fascist playbook that they basically have to stay in power no matter what. Here's where it gets like, holy gosh, is this doctor on it? Absolutely. Fascism works best in an economy of scarcity because people feel so precarity, economic, social, political, so they don't want to produce abundance of support of public goods. Produce abundant support for public goods. So basically what she's saying is this. You create a horrible economy, and it's far easier to convince people that true leadership is banning a Dr. Seuss book. That see, they're like this because they're just so desperate to feel like they're in charge of something. This is one of the reasons why, in conjunction with what I've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 months, that Republicans, whenever there's positive news about Minnesota or Minneapolis, St. Paul, their first thing is to scream, no, it's not, because they can't risk people feeling like things are getting better. They have literally become the point where you could get gasoline down to, say, $3 a gallon under Joe Biden, and they say, gosh, gas prices are out of control. But gas prices could be $4.50 under Donald Trump. They say, isn't he doing a good job keeping gas prices under control? That is who they are. It doesn't matter the reality anymore. They just got to push a freaking narrative, and it's absolutely spot on. Invest your time and political energy into public schools, libraries, museums, historical societies, parks, etc. Any scarcity that happens in the U.S. is intentional and politically calculated. It helps justify austerity and brutality. Fascists are counting on you to stay quiet about the erosion and privatization of the public goods like schools and hospitals. So don't do that. Book bans are about the convergence of race panic and sex panic. That nexus is what mobilized white rage since Brown versus the Board of Education. And surprisingly, since the white America's racial guilt shame get played out in the realm of public education. The minute they started teaching, guess what? Slavery was really bad. And there was a lack of equal rights still to that day when Board versus the Board of Education, they basically, you know, that's they've been pushing back. And part of it, too, if I can also add on here, is the kids of the people in those photos where they're pouring ketchup and mustard on African-Americans who dare to sit at the white person counter at a diner. They're trying to redeem. Well, you just don't understand. Grandpappy wasn't trying to be racist. He wanted a seat. He had bad aim and was trying to give ketchup to the hot dog. You know, that's kind of one of the things that they're trying to do. The white tears of over the 1619 project and reveal that white supremacists perceive themselves in crisis over social control, historical meaning, marketing. The only way to that crisis is destruction of the non-white knowledge bases, public education, and publishing. When white people, hetero men especially, feel like they're in crisis, they see no place for their white supremacy in the present or future, so they resort to nostalgia to reproduce older forms of white identity history. Whatever happened to Mayberry? Whatever happened to Mayberry? That's exactly what that is. The other side of it is terrorism to regain control. And how many times have you seen, just in the last week alone, Republicans actually encouraging violence if things don't go their way? Absolutely. This is because knowledge can never be taken away. So fascists can prevent knowledge of fascism, racism, colonialism from being shared or distorted via Fox News and conservative media ecology. They can control politics. This is why public education will also be central to freedom. Also, public education and libraries were feminized because of the way the workforce managed sex and gender in the 1960s. So if you care about fascism in the U.S. and you are a dude invested in freedom, you need to work alongside librarians and teachers to safeguard public institutions. Book bans are a failure every single time. People will continue to read Beloved, but they demonstrate the limited political repertoire of fascism, which means they can be show us how predictable fascism is and how fascism can be thwarted. That is, a book ban is not about the ban itself. It's about the process of activating the fascist in-group to coup at the school board meetings and reassert control over education and over white fascists who might be flirting with liberal thinking, reading, and speaking. Book bans also teach people to snitch on one another to destroy solidarity and community trust. Undeniably, snitching undermines public trust in the public institutions and creates an atmosphere of fear, which creates an illusion of scarcity through profiteering and probation. Flood tip lines, nonsense, basically fight back. It's absolutely spot on. The entire thread is amazing. This modern Republican Party has embraced fascism point, and this is where they're at. They don't have any ideas. They're not about transportation or public education or health and human services or the environment. So they basically, book bans, hate drag queens, because they're trying to get in control. They try to convince you, even if your life is getting better, that your life is horrible, so you're more susceptible to their fascist positions. And basically, it's out there to stop you from basically reading, thinking, and having a mind of your own. So they basically sit there and they try to, whatever happened to Mayberry? And when that's not hooking anymore, because people say, well, you know, it was Mayberry, it was rural North Carolina. Trust me, there's tons of racism there. that wasn't in the show, but it was really racist in rural South North Carolina. Let me just tell you right now. So then it comes, you'd better follow us or else. Spot on. And by the way, I got a lot more to unpack on this because of things I experienced this weekend and things that the Republican Party experienced this weekend and the story from the Star Tribune about the trying to get control of these school boards. We'll talk about that when we do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Animals pick your insurance? You really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
The place for summer fun is the Park Tavern. Live music is taking over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio this summer. Head over on Tuesday, August 15th for Carl Davis. Wednesday, August 16th, it's Ash St. John's. And on Thursday, August 17th, it's Three Dragons. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and reservations for groups of 8 or more are recommended. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups with no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, get your summer groove on at the Park Tavern.
I'm Candy Bravel.
I'm Elizabeth Sullivan.
And I'm Kelly Wagner.
Energize yourself with AM 950's Sunday Shine Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Sunday Shine Radio radiates wellness, consciousness, and curiosity.
Join me, Candy Bravel, for Green Tea Conversations at 10 a.m.
Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth at 11 a.m.
And the Being Curious Show at noon.
Our lineup focuses on igniting your own self-discovery and personal wellness.
Tune in every Sunday for Sunday Shine Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And let us guide you on an inspirational journey each week.
Are you ready to embark on a journey towards taking control of your health and well-being? I'm Candy Broffel, host of Green Tea Conversations. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I sit down with the local experts who are bridging the gap between mainstream medicine and complementary therapies. Each week, we explore topics in integrative medicine, nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 69. Tonight clear with a low around 55. And Tuesday partly sunny with a high around 80. Create unforgettable meals that are sure to impress with vinaigrette. From extra virgin olive oils to balsamic vinegars, fused extra virgin olive oils to white balsamic vinegars and wine vinegars, vinaigrette has it all. Independently owned since 2009, find vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Man. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So, I see this tweet from Brian Evans, who is the communications director for the DFL. And this is a tweet from 2 hours ago. And apparently, this weekend, this sounds insane. This weekend, David Hahn almost was Chair David Hahn was kicked off the head of the GOP. And like I said, I'm getting this from him, did you know that was there supposed to be a GOP meeting this weekend? Do you know about that?
Yeah, to me, this kind of seems out of left field. That's a big deal that they're close to removing their chair.
Apparently, and I'm going to read directly from the Brian Evans tweet. Minnesota GOP David Hahn just barely fended off an effort to oust him over the weekend. Hahn also defeated a motion that he forgo his salary until the Minnesota GOP pays the Mayo Civic Center. The margin there was 10 votes. There is a link here, but it doesn't. I've pushed on it a few times, and it doesn't seem like the link is working in any capacity. At least it's not pulling up the story that you would think it would be. I'm going to read. He has a post here, and he highlighted this. The motion to replace Hahn was brought by former state representative Eric Mortensen. Oh, God, that guy. When he was ruled out of order by the presiding chair, the convention voted on whether or not to consider his motion. On a procedural vote like this, there must be over 50% voting to overturn the out-of-order ruling on the presiding chair. In a surprising turn, an incredible 125 delegates, 40% of the body, voted to move forward with a motion to replace Hahn. Well, this fell short of the half needed to proceed. It does speak volumes about dissatisfaction with the Republican Party chair. Okay. The Republican Party is in real big freaking trouble in this state. I mean, it is in really big trouble. Although they won't believe it. Because let me make sure we understand something about far-right Republicans. Far-right Republicans look at a picture of a county with 5,000 people in it, and then look at a picture of the county of Hennepin County with a few million people in it, and they'll say that the one county with 5,000 people in it is red, and the one is blue. It's like, they're equal. Say, same thing. Gotcha, Dems. They're idiots. Because when you surround yourself with only things that validate your opinion, you become dumber and dumber and dumber. I know far-right Republicans who honestly think the majority of the state agree with them. And you look at them and say, did you just see the last election where the Republicans got their trousers handed to them? And yeah, that was an anomaly. There's voter fraud. Every vote would have gone for the Republicans, but the Democrats would. And it's always like there's eight Democrats that are stopping everything. If we only stopped those eight people, only stopped all of them, everybody here would be willing to give their tax dollars to millionaires and billionaires, and that would be a utopia. they don't even hear themselves. If you want to know the truth, they don't even hear themselves anymore. But because you convince yourself, well, all I see is friends who agree with me, so we all are there. Paul Anderson ran for president of the United States in 1980. I think it was Paul Anderson was his name, if I remember correctly. He didn't do well. He lost. But out in Rhode Island, where I lived at the time, and at this time I was, 11 or 12 years old, so I was starting to kind of get things. at that time, it was Paul Anderson, by the way. You pulling that the 1980 campaign of Paul Anderson?
Yeah, I'm looking that up. Yeah, to see what he got.
Yeah, he didn't get much. Rhode Island, did he take Rhode Island? Did he actually win the state of Rhode Island in 1980?
I don't think he won, but I'm still looking at the data.
Okay.
It doesn't look like he won, though.
I was out in Rhode Island, and it was funny because my older siblings, who were all voting age at that point, were all like, I can't believe he lost. I can't believe he lost. Everyone I knew was going to vote for him. Now, mind you, this is a small corner of the smallest state in the nation, Rhode Island. And there was just this kind of ambivalence over, you guys understand this is a big country, right? It goes further than Cranston, okay? And by the way, if you're from Rhode Island, you're loving that, right? It's bigger than Narragansett, all right? You got to go further than Block Island. There's all your Providence. There's all your Rhode Island references for you. Wickfod. Anyway. The Republicans are like that. They've convinced themselves that we're not on the outside, they're on the outside. And this is, I mean, isn't this what they, why they think voter fraud's so legit? It's because they honestly think that, well, no, all 100% of all people vote with us. So henceforth, the only way we're losing is it's got to be voter fraud. I mean, it's that kind of delusional thinking. This is not an outlier within the Republican Party. This is now a large portion of the Republican Party. When I look at Eric Mortensen, I remember Morty. When I look at Eric Mortensen and I look at this, this is that far right crew, that ZZ Flop, the Mary Francis, the Grunhagens, the Drazinskis, the Luceros, the Walter Hudsons, and all that crew that are out there basically, who surround themselves with people who are, you know, kind of weasel, you know, weaselly internet trolls that basically edge on other weaselly internet trolls. And they have become this party that, you know, if we only just jammed everything down their throat, we would win. It would look like integrity because everyone agrees with us. And here is the Republican Party today who realizes, because Walt Hudson, you know, the representative from St. Michael Albertville, you know, he apparently was on his, you know, abortion is horrible, abortion is legal. And funny, when I asked him, I said, are you saying right now that the GOP Republican platform for 2024 is illegal abortions in the state of Minnesota, that you're going to get rid of all the laws? That's your policy, that's your platform. And of course, they're running away from it because they know they can't win with that. But it's only when you basically demand, okay, are you on the record? Because I'm going to say this, that far right of the party, that's their platform right now. And when you look at what happened this weekend with Hahn almost getting voted out, you can kind of hypothesize that this is really what they want to do. Because let's face it, the moderate Republicans, they're weakless, spineless jellyfish that don't have any integrity whatsoever. They're so terrified of upsetting the far-right stooges within their own party that they don't have any integrity. They don't have any moral fiber. So whatever the far-right brings into the campaign, when they're out there talking about, we're going to get rid of abortion, we're going to make being gay illegal, we're going to basically prosecute anyone that has a drag queen show, that is going to be the policy of the Republican Party. And this little experiment they tried to pull this weekend, that it only highlights the fact that this is indeed where they're going. And if they don't win again, well, then maybe that's, we'll go back to that Twitter thread I just brought up. Maybe then all of a sudden we'll start threatening people. We got the guns. We'll go out there and show them who's really in charge. Good luck with that. Good. It will be a hoot watching the 10th Mountain Division absolutely annihilate you guys. No, bring your pickup truck. Oh, it'll be making for an easy target. Oh, it'll be hilarious watching your little insurrection get killed. Because, I mean, let's be honest here. Most of the Republicans that are talking about this stuff that try to fan the flames of they'd better or else, they're not willing to go out there and sacrifice themselves. I mean, this is one of the reasons why the Trump administration failed as badly as they did with this attempt to overthrow the government. It's because at the end of the day, The Republicans like Getz and Matt Gaetz and Boebert and stuff like that and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who might have actually kind of gone along with it, they're not about to go out there and use their political, bank account to basically push for this. They want other people to be there and then at the very last second run up to the top of the hill and plant the flag and say, we did it. We won. That's us. Bing. We're the winners. And so that's what these guys are like doing. They're out there right now pushing this idea because it's really easy to sacrifice other people's kids for your own causes. So this is a sign. This is where the Republican Party's at. They're not any moderate. They're this far right extreme group that is basically even just they can't even stand their own leadership right now. And one side of this party is going to drag this party to the extreme far right. And there is nothing in that Republican Party. All they can do is sit there and say, you know, we're really moderates in the campaign. But ask them, it's like, are you going to stand up to the Mary Franzens? The Glenn Grunhagens? Because that's the real question right now. If you claim to be moderate, it's not just standing up against the Democrats. It's standing up against these far-right loon balls within your own party. And you want to know the truth is? I don't think a lot of them want to. Because they already know that they cannot upset them. So I want to make sure everyone understands right now. The Republican Party platform in 2024 in Minnesota is women don't have the right to choose their own health care. LGBTQ population will be discriminated against. Transgender people will be chucked in prison if they get their way. And they'll criminally prosecute anyone that puts on a drag show. Because they have to adopt the fascist stance because no one's buying their product anymore. 952-946-6205. See how this all comes together? I'll even loop it in a little bit more when I come back from the break. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. When it come on, everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I could take you for a ride.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
The place for summer fun is the Park Tavern. Live music is taking over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio this summer. Head over on Tuesday, August 15th for Carl Davis. Wednesday, August 16th, it's Ash St. John's. And on Thursday, August 17th, it's Three Dragons. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and reservations for groups of 8 or more are recommended. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups with no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, get your summer groove on at the Park Tavern.
The Mary T. family of companies serve seniors and people with a wide range of disabilities. We provide home health care, hospice services, and accessible rental housing. This is Mary T., and we'd like you to join us. We're hiring direct care professionals, CNAs, nurses, and other support services. Our mission is to provide quality, personalized services to meet the unique and evolving needs of the people that we serve. Join a Minnesota family-owned company that was founded on a history of care. Apply today at MaryTinc.com/careers.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So let's tie this all back together here. Star Tribune story today about the amount of money being spent on these school boards. So the Republicans, okay, I found it to be very interesting, the specific school boards that they're targeting, that where this money is being spent. Because it's clearly these are the school boards where the far right parts of this country still in the metro area still think that they can, hey, I'm really a moderate. Like down in Hastings, remember? Down there, like, we're really moderates. And basically behind the scenes, they were a part of that Facebook group that was out there attacking the 8-year-old girl from the school district down there. And then, well, of course, when it got exposed, they're like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, the Hastings is a great example of that. The far right still goes into Hastings because as the metro has grown, it still is a district where if they pretend to be moderates, they can sucker you on in. Anyway, they talk about this. They start off with this Aaron Hears McArdle, who is part of the Anoka Hennepin County School Board. And of course, Anoka Hennepin is one that we've talked about a lot over the years. That's where they had the far right extremist got on that school board before, and basically were openly encouraging the Christian kids of the school to bully kids under the argument of free speech to death. And I think they ended up having dozens of kids dead by suicide before they finally got sued, and all of a sudden we did our job, and they all ran away because they knew they had kind of been caught. Off-year school board elections are typically among the sleepier political affairs of Minnesota, but a surge of interest in the inner workings of the state's public schools made these once docile affairs more competitive. Much of the school's focus on school board races, experts insiders say, is a direct result of the pandemic. There certainly is a broader interest at Kurt Schneidenwind, executive director of the Minnesota School Boards Association. I think it's part of COVID. Also, the people may not necessarily have been engaged before are interested there. All told, candidates vying for the seats on the Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan School Board tripled their spending. The collective war chest in the South Washington County District more than quintupled. What about those three? Now, Apple Valley, I think, is getting to be a bit of a reach. Rosemont, Apple Valley, Eagan, that is becoming more blue. That is. I mean, it really is. As a matter of fact, it's not like it was 10 years ago where I think that it was a Republican-favored district. I think those are going to be Democratic districts. South Washington's a little bit more difficult. That's a little bit more on the teeter-totter there. But Anoka Hennepin, I mean, there's a lot of really red areas there. What they're doing is, hey, gee willikers, I don't know where you get the impression. I'm a far-right extremist. I'm really a moderate, willing to work with the other side of the aisle. That's what they're doing. I bring this up because I want to remind people of what happened to me. I was in the Hopkins School District, and all of a sudden there came this group called United Dyna 273, who was trying to basically, there are neighborhoods in Edina that are part of the Hopkins School District. They were trying to peel them away because there was a land developer who was building houses there and he wanted to maximize his price. So he wanted those houses out of the Hopkins School District and into the Edina School District. So they put out this we want to unite the entire Edina community. Funny story, they didn't really want to. The townhomes off Bren Londonderry, the lower income apartments off of Lincoln Fifth, and the entire northern neighborhoods, those were excluded. So as a group called United Edina, they didn't really want to unite Edina. One day, all of a sudden, there were three candidates for the Hopkins School Board who no one knew anything about. So when I contacted them and I tried to find out more information, I'm for homeowners' rights. Well, what about the air conditioning unit over at the school? I'm for homeowner rights. They were plant candidates in there to basically try to push the school district into basically peeling off that part of their tax base, which, by the way, they lost. The school district didn't do. They were all upset. You need to find out if you are in one of these school districts. You need to find out who your school board candidates are. Because one day, if you don't pay attention and you don't know who you're voting for, one day you could walk in and, well, we're pulling all the books out of the library and we're going to fire all the librarians. We're going to allow people to bully gay kids to death. And that it's going to be, we're going to basically, you know, regulate everyone's sexuality. And if you don't want that to happen, you better find out who exactly is running for these school board candidates in every district that's got to race this upcoming election cycle. Well, hour two, that's coming up next.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking cuisine, the Great Wall Chinese Restaurant has been a local favorite since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include the sesame chicken, imperial beef, and Peking duck. The Great Wall Restaurant is located off 45th and France, with takeout available too. More at greatwallrestaurant.us. The next time you're out in South Minneapolis, make Nightingale off 26th and Lindale your go-to dining option. It's a comfortable neighborhood restaurant that features a delicious menu of American classics, plus a wide drink and cocktail selection. Nightingale has dining room and bar seating available, plus takeout and delivery.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media